As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
KMOX coming up at 2 p.m. live in studio. We have Ozzy Smith.
Very cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm going to say hi to him on your way out.
Yeah. I love Ozzy.
Yeah. Great guy.
I mean, that was my, you know, as a kid in the 80s, that's like, that was the first guy.
Doesn't get any better.
That was the first dude. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Really attached to him. Awesome.
I feel awful. Physically, and I think it's because, and I guess I'm just this fragile. My power went out this morning at like 4:30. Just I have a couple of fans that blow right on me because I like it cold and I like a lot of activity.
Yeah,
and it just like just stopped. So then just laid there for a while, miserable. Got ready in the dark, no coffee. Came in early. Yeah, so I'm just like.
Yeah, that's not
everything
good. That's a bad
weird.
Start.
Yeah, it is.
No coffee can ruin your day.
Yeah, when I was driving in feeling insane, and I'm like, this, I know that coffee isn't cocaine, but if I'm feeling this out of sorts and weird because I haven't had my coffee yet, that's kind of a scary thing.
You know, I know it does something, and it's because when you have your first, I don't know, like when I have the first few sips of it, I'm like 4 or 5 sips in, and I'm like, I'm feeling it. Mm-hmm. So either it's in my head, or I'm really actually feeling the caffeine. There's that first feeling of, oh, hell yeah, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you definitely
let's go.
Do.
Yeah.
Which I've
I
never,
love it so much.
I've never had a substance problem. Thank God, knock on wood, people close to me have. But that's as close as I come, as far as like having a substance that has an effect on me that I need every day, but it's socially acceptable, so no one gives me any trouble. But if it were taken away, I would really struggle.
Yep. I lost a bet once, and that was my punishment, no coffee for a week. And yeah. I stuck to it, and that sucked.
I bet.
I really hated that.
Andrew, can I bring up a weird topic with you?
Sure.
I love you. when we were at the AFSP walk mm-hmm. and we were communing with our listeners mm-hmm. and your lovely wife was there mm-hmm. and they were bringing up how funny the hammock stuff is. Mm-hmm. And she was like, hammock? What do you mean hammock? Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh, it's nothing. Nothing to see here. Hey, look, let's go get some snow cones. Mm-hmm. Was she mad?
No, no, she wasn't. So she doesn't get to listen to the show because she's at work when our show's on. And then I don't tell her what we talked about on the show, if it was about her. So she just didn't know that I'd been talking about the hammock and the hammock related things on the radio at all. She did bring it up later when we were on the way to Olive Garden. She was like, "So hammock thing, what's up with that?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "Well, what have you been saying about it?" And I was like, "The truth? That you love Hammy more than you love me."
Hammy.
Is that what you call it?
That's what I named it. Him.
You know, I really thought this was going to go a different direction, and we were going to find out that he's been lying about the hammock the whole time.
Andrew's not weird at all. He's just lying.
Yeah.
I have the most normal, average life.
The mouse thing didn't happen. The mouse traps didn't happen.
I live in like a pristine modern house in Chesterfield. Yeah. Everything in its right place. No, because she was like, because the first time with the listener, because first the listener said, "Oh, so you're loving your hammock, huh?" And she was like, "I'm doing what now?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, you remember, you know, you love your hammock." And she's like, "I do. Why does this guy know that?" And then when we stepped away from him right over to Tony and his wife. And Tony was like, "Oh, hammock, huh?" And she's like, "Okay. What are you saying about this hammock?" And I'm like, "That you spend all your time in it."
Did you tell her the thing about how you can, you know, whenever you want, you can just...
Whenever I want it. Yeah, I did tell her that.
What is this?
Oh, you were here? Oh, that's right. You were here for this.
That's right. You
were
gone.
Let me tell this one.
Okay, but you have to tell it in the way that...
I'll do my best.
Because...
I'll do my best.
You were weird, too. I'm the only weird one.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
So this is when Trish was here.
Okay.
And over the weekend, Trish told me it's the funniest thing she's ever heard on the show. Because she was here for it. And he was rolling out how his wife sleeps in the hammock. And what I was trying to get at was, well, you're a married couple and, you know, she's sleeping separate from you. And... like, are you close to her? Like, can you cuddle? That kind of thing. That was what was in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But what I said was, can you touch her? And I'm not sure what he was trying to say.
Okay.
But what he said was, when I want it.
You guys.
What I was trying to say.
And Trish lost it.
Yeah,
I was like,
I mean,
did you just say when I want it? Ew.
Can you touch her?
When I want it.
Can you touch her?
Feeling frisky.
So what I actually said.
I just walked out.
What I actually said was if I wanted, like WANTED.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't sound like that.
No, it didn't.
It sounded like I said, if I want it.
I want it right
and
now.
So, and because I'm thinking of, Dave doesn't know the layout of my home and where she is relative to me. So, but I'm picturing that in my head. So I'm not thinking that he's asking, like, is she within reach of you? I thought he was asking, like, something
happened. What are your marital rules?
And I was like, I mean, I guess if I wanted to, I could try.
Dude, it was so gross. It was so gross. I'm so glad you weren't here for it.
Yeah,
so
I'm pretty glad I wasn't here, too.
The two humans trip and fall at the same time. No, that's pretty gross.
It's not great.
Asking one of my co-hosts if he can touch his wife.
And he responds, if I want it.
Yikes.
Yeah. And Trish, and Dave and I don't really notice anything's weird yet.
Yeah,
we're just looking at each other, and Trish goes, what?
Isn't that, like, the problem with this show is, like, we're all so used to each other that, like, we can get weird sometimes, and then it's like, oh, there are people listening who are... probably like very weirded out.
Just
right
like Andrew's
now.
Like,
what are the listeners?
Daddy's in the mood.
Yikes.
One of the listeners that we met at the walk, because I have quite a few listeners who will say things like, oh, you were an acquired taste. I have to admit, like, my wife loved you, but I didn't like you at first, but I like you now. I'm used to that. And this guy was just like, oh, man, I hated you at first. And then he's like, I can't believe the terrible things you say about yourselves. Like, Dave, talking about you were a crappy attorney and you may have to go back to that one day. And Andrew, how you... And he just kept on going. And he's like...
Listing
man.
Off all of our flaws.
Yeah, like maybe he's gonna, maybe I shouldn't be saying all this stuff.
Right. Rachel's perfect, but everybody else...
No. I didn't know what an adult toy was. That's one problem.
It's funny. I was kind of thinking out loud about this when we were walking that day. That I think the listeners yesterday, yeah, that far off event of yesterday morning. I think that because we are all very honest about ourselves and like very honest, you know, with the listeners on the air and stuff. That I think they feel emboldened to be very, very honest with us. And generally, I love that, but sometimes you do, like, when people are like, oh, Andrew, I gotta tell you, like, you make me laugh, but you're the stupidest man I've ever heard. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if you got hit by a garbage truck, like, that'd be fine. I would think that was pretty funny. And it's like, oh, thanks. Hey, thanks, man, I guess.
Yeah, there was at one point on the trip.
I have to say that.
It was very hot in Japan, like very hot, and I kept sweating through my clothes. And at one point, I like took like a Snapchat to send to my sister-in-law to just be like, look how disgusting this is. And I had sent it to Kurt, and he's like, is it okay if I send this to my mom? It's funny. And I was like, dude, you have no idea how much I've embarrassed myself on the radio. Like, send her whatever
right.
you want.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
The deed is done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares?
So I left a shirt that I was going to wear yesterday. While we watched football at my dad's house. And so I left my house without a shirt on and just walked to my dad's house without a shirt on.
How far is that?
Not that far. Like,
well,
half
it's pretty
a mile,
far
maybe.
Without a shirt. You yeah, walked a half mean, a mile without a shirt?
Yeah. And I felt
no
kind
shirt.
Of the, yeah, no shirt. I felt kind of the same way. I was like, when Megan was like, you have to put on a shirt. And I was like, who cares?
Wait, when
did
you do this?
Did you just cuss?
No. I definitely didn't cuss when I was talking to her.
During the daytime.
Yeah.
You walked through a residential street for half a mile wearing no shirt.
Yeah. It was like 2:30.
Do you think what? People thought you were lost?
No, because she was with me.
Oh, okay.
Megan?
Yeah. She was. She had all her clothes on. It was just me.
Well, yeah, we figured. Why didn't you just throw on like an undershirt?
Well, I kind of didn't. Well, okay. The truth is because I thought we were going to drive. So I thought I would just be shirtless from the walk from the house to the car. Instead, I was shirtless. But instead, she was like, well, no, we're walking because blah, blah, and there's going to be a bunch of cars in the driveway and stuff. And I was like, oh, off we go then.
Why did you not want to have a shirt on?
I didn't not want to have a shirt on, but I had another shirt waiting for me at his house.
Okay.
You are so weird.
Yeah, weird I know. Guy.
Like, I had a shirt waiting for me today, too. But I never once thought about driving here with looking like Rachel's adult toy.
Torso.
Torso.
I would never have, like, come to work like that, but it was just like, you know.
Well, other than the work photo you uploaded to Instacart with no shirt.
Sitting on a toilet.
Oh, God.
I was at home for that photo.
Andrew, you remember that wasn't it a football coach who got drunk and went through the drive-thru naked? Like
yes.
a Wendy's? Who,
yes.
I forgot who that was.
I do too, but I think it was a college coach, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Would you go to a drive-thru with your shirt off?
Yeah, I think I probably would.
Like, you'd roll up there to the window with
yeah.
no shirt.
Yeah, I feel like I've probably done that before on, like, vacation or something.
He pulls up to the window. He's like, no.
I'm
on
vacation.
Vacation.
It's fine.
I just left the beach.
Guys, DGS on KMOX. Always great to have friend of the show Ozzy Smith back on the show along with Ali Wells, who's the Gateway PGA Executive Director. I love this. Andrew, the consummate producer, always gives me a one sheet and it says Ozzy Smith, Cardinals Hall of Fame shortstop. Well, thank you. Thank you for that information. Good to see you, Oz. How you been?
All right, Dave. How you doing?
Doing well. Allie, everything good?
Everything great. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Good to see you again. So we have the 15th annual Ozzie and Friends Pro-Am coming up at St. Albans. The gala, however you say that, is going to be October 6th. The Pro-Am tournament is October 7th. We'll be talking about that and all things Gateway PGA. So, Allie, why don't you kick it off and tell us about the event? Then we'll maybe talk some baseball later.
Sure, I'll give some high level details, and then I'm sure Ozzie has a few surprises he might want to talk about.
But nice.
15th annual gala and pro-am. It's a 2-day event. It's certainly the signature event for the Gateway PGA and the PGA Reach Gateway Foundation, largest fundraiser of the year, and we always have a whole lot of fun. Ozzie brings some special guests. We raise a little bit of money for PGA Reach Gateway, and we get to be, as an audience, a fly on the wall for some really cool conversations that Ozzie gets to have with some of his special guests. So this year's theme is Whitey Ball, and I'll let Ozzie take it over from here.
Well, you know, when Whitey passed away, they had the service form out in Chesterfield there, and I just felt that it wasn't celebration enough of his life and the impact that he had here in this city and on all the guys that had the opportunity to play for him and spend time with him, one of the greatest baseball minds that that the world has ever seen. And so this year I decided that it would probably make more sense to honor him or celebrate his life by having all of the guys get together and come back, and everybody that I've phoned, from Terry Pendleton to Jack Clark to Vince Coleman to Willie McGee, will all be here to sit down and celebrate a life that well, he touched a lot of lives, and especially ours, you know, because of the success and stuff that we had here in the 80s. And should be a fun evening, October 6th at the Ritz. And we're just going to have fun enjoying stories of Whitey Herzog. I've gotten Bob Costas has sent video and stuff that I'm going to use. You know, so we're going through the process now of editing all of that stuff and putting it all together.
That's a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's pretty cool, you know. So this is the 15th year, as she mentioned, and I don't know where the time went.
Yeah, tell me about it.
But, you know, this all started for me. Growing up in Southern California, I never experienced I've never held a golf club. And I saw this as a great way to introduce to young kids not only the game of golf, but the business of golf. It's another way out. You know, it's always been baseball, basketball, or football and stuff. And I saw this as another avenue by which kids could glam on and maybe find that one thing that they might be passionate about. And and we know that if a kid finds that thing that he's passionate about when he's young, he'll never work a day in his life.
That's right.
You know, so we've been hard at it. My long-range goal has always been to build a 9-hole multi-recreational facility across the street from Herbert Hoover's Boys Club that would give the kids the opportunity to go out and experience what the game of golf was all about, while at the same time learning the business.
That's
as
great.
Well.
I was thinking about if I had it to do over with my kids will be 29 and 19, what would I do different? And I thought I would insist on them learning a few things they didn't learn.
Right.
And golf was one of those things. I'd like five things, like a foreign language. You have to be able to throw a baseball. You can't that guy. Mm-hmm. But golf, you learn, as I learned back during my legal career, is so important to just business, politics. Mm-hmm. And as you know, when you get into a foursome, it reshuffles.
That's right.
The lowest guy in the totem pole that can get off the tee is suddenly the man, right?
Yeah, so true. And, you know, for me, it's just been one of those things that I enjoy hanging out with my friends. I enjoy doing business things. It's just created and given me so much more to enjoy in life. And, you know, all I have to do is hit one good ball and
that brings you back.
Bring me back.
Let's talk just a bit more about Whitey. I was able to meet him a couple times and spend some time with them. So you would have been a Hall of Famer had I been your coach. But what did Whitey add to your game?
Well, you know, one of the important things that I think is overlooked is sometimes you overcoach, you know, overmanage, micromanage. He wasn't one of those people. He was one of those people that gave you the opportunity to go out and do what you love to do. You know, we had two rules: be on time and give 100%. You know, you got to run it out. And if you can't abide by those type of rules, then you probably shouldn't be there. I think the other thing that made him special was that he could get along with people. He could read people. And that's why his teams were all so effective. You can have the most talented people in the world, but if the personalities don't blend, you don't have success. I think most of his success came because he knew the people that he needed. He knew their personalities, and he knew that the group of guys that would get along. And if there was somebody in this group that didn't fit in, he wasn't around long. You know, so finding that bad apple and being able to do that, and he was able to do that pretty quickly. I shouldn't say just he, but I think all great managers have that ability to figure out who fits and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm. We're talking before we went on air about the modern day, all of the numbers and the statistics and the velos and the this and the that. And I'm sure in some ways you're glad that you got to play pre all of that. You got to just play.
I did, and you know, we came from an era where you see ball, you hit ball, because the body reacts to what it sees. And if you have good athletic ability, like most of the guys do to come to the big leagues, you know, then you just let them go out and play. You know, guys like Mason Wynn, for instance, you know, good young player. People say, well, what do you tell him? What do you mean, what I tell him? No, you just let him go out and do his thing, find out what that thing he's not consistent at, and maybe work with him on that. But other than that, you're going to do nothing but confuse him, and I certainly don't want to do that. And I think that he proved this year, he along with Jordan Walker, I think are two of the young prospects in this organization that now is just a matter of allowing them to go out and do what they're capable of doing. And don't with Walker, you know, sending them up and down, I think, is one of the things that can hurt a young player if you're not careful. He's strong enough, fortunate enough that he's strong enough to mentally – to be able to deal with it. And I think he's showing that here at the end of the year.
Mason reminds a lot of people of you. Does he remind you of you?
Well, he reminds me a lot of Gary Templeton, who I got traded for. A true 5-2 player. He had great arm, great speed, could hit with power, hit for average. He gives you all of the things that you're looking for. He runs the ball out. You know, he plays the game the way the game should be played. And, you know, one of the most outstanding statistics on him this year was, you know, his ability to hit with two strikes. You know, that's important, you know, and those are the type of people that you're looking for, and hopefully you can get a group of guys like that. If you can get three or four guys like that, life is a lot easier for a manager.
That's right. I knew Mason was going to be okay the first year when he was struggling based on that stare of his. Mm-hmm. When he's looking at you knew he was going to figure it out.
He'd figure it out. You know, and sometimes it takes a little longer to figure it out. But once he does, then, you know, it goes out and you play the game the way the game's supposed to be played. And he does that.
So I've never asked you this. I've never heard anyone ask you this, because you are synonymous with I don't think perfection is too strong of a word, but you had to have gone through times in your career early on, later on, when you were struggling. Do you remember any of those times and how you got through it?
Well, you know, I came to the big leagues notably as a defensive player. And so I had to learn the art of hitting here against the likes of Nolan Ryan, Fergie Jenkins, Tom Seaver, Jerry Kuzman, Steve Carlton. People said, well, who's the toughest? Well, take your pick, you know. So, but my defensive prowess allowed me to remain at the big league level to learn the art of hitting. You know, so, yeah, there were a lot of struggles and stuff. But I was a contact guy. So I knew that I could put the ball in play, and it's just learning the where my hand should be when I do this. I can remember early on in my career when I was with the Padres, I asked a hitting instructor, I said, well, if I want to hit the ball up the middle, where should my hands be? He said, oh, don't worry about that. Just aim up the middle. So it wasn't until I came here to the Cardinals that, you know, I started getting an understanding of what it was that I was trying to do. You know, because anytime you're not a power hitter and you hit a fly ball, they go, oh, he's trying to hit a home run. No, I'm not. I'm not trying to hit a home run. It's just learning to stay on top of the ball. And it was those little things that I learned when I got here that made me a better hitter. Keeping the ball out of the air. You know, one of the things that Whitey did was said, for every ground ball you hit, I'll give you a dollar. For every fly ball, you give me a dollar. So it's incentives like that that I think that made him special. It made me work harder. It made me concentrate on staying on top of the ball rather than getting underneath the ball. And it all worked out. Now, it took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And I tell young people all the time that no success comes without some blood, some sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta put in the work. You know, there has to be calluses. There has to be countless hours of not being able to sleep and dealing with it. I had to, you know, I built a batting cage in my basement, you know. So I worked at it. It wasn't something that just came to me. You know, I put in the time and the hours, and when I finally finished my career, I was very proud of what I was able to accomplish because I know of all the hard work that it took to get to where I ultimately
it's
ended
hard
up.
To make things look easy.
It's hard.
Right?
It's hard. You know, some things came, you know, defensively, I didn't have to think a whole lot, and I don't like thinking a whole lot when I'm operating. You operate in your subconscious mind. I mean, you get to the most success out of just letting it happen. And fortunate for me, from a defensive standpoint, I just kind of let it happen. I just did what I did naturally and didn't clog my brain with a lot of velo this and double step this way, that way, whatever. You know, I just reacted to the ball, and I reacted to the ball because I took so many ground balls. I had a pretty good idea what it was going to do.
Yeah. That, of course, is the great Ozzie Smith here with Ali Wells, who is the Gateway PGA Executive Director. Coming up on the 15th of, I'm sorry, this is the 15th annual. Coming up on the 7th of October is the Pro-Am at St. Albans. What may be of even more interest to you is the night before, the gala at the Ritz-Carlton, October 6th, and a lot of Ozzie's teammates are going to be there to honor Whitey Herzog. So final question about the Cardinals, the obvious one that, you know, we're in an interesting point right now, and looks like we'll pull out a winning season, but not a great season, and the fans are showing their displeasure. Any advice, any thoughts?
No, it's, you know, we're at a place that in this town you're not used to being. You know, the lifeline of the organization has always been their minor league system, and we've got to get the minor league system back to where, when you think about it in the 80s, we always had someone who came up at the end of the year to give you that shot in the arm, you know, when you needed that spark, you know, from Vince Coleman to Andy Van Slyke. It's the one thing that you've got to do. You got to build it back. And I'm just hoping that they're able to do it and it doesn't take very long.
Yeah. Ali, anything else we need to tell the people about the upcoming Pro-Am?
Open to everyone, and you can buy tickets still, OzzieSmithGolf.com. We'd love to have you. We have plenty of room at the Ritz. Thank you for supporting PGA Reach Gateway Foundation. And again, OzzieSmithGolf.com is where you can go to buy tickets.
Excellent. Good to see you. Oz, always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.